How can I make the most of the rest of my life? How can I make the most of the rest of my life? Some of us have got longer than others, but we don't actually know, do we? We don't know. We could go out and, something could happen to us. We have no idea how long the rest of our life is. But we get one life. We get one time here. And how many of us think back to things we have said and done and we cringe? We think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. We wish we could erase some of the things that we've done and some of the things that we said and just blot them out completely. And then perhaps try again. Think, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. I wish I could redo that. Even if we have made mistakes in the past, it is possible, with God's help, to make something of what is left. So even if we've completely messed up on the life that we've had so far, it is possible to have a new start. And in Romans 12, 1-2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And so it's saying there that, what should we do there? Well, first of all, we break with the past. We break with the past. If I see my own children, what I think anyway, being led astray, someone's having an influence on them, or the TV having a bad influence on them, it affects me. It probably annoys me. It probably frustrates me. How it affects me when I see my own children being affected in a negative way by things around them. And you think, oh, why do they sort of take... Ah. But in the same way, God is the same with us, because he sees us, and he sees us conforming to those around us. He sees us conforming to our peer pressure. And he says, stop being led astray and make a clean break and start again. Sometimes we have to make a stand. Sometimes we have to make a stand against what's going on around us. Sometimes it's positive and sometimes, I don't mean negative, but what I mean is sometimes we have to say, I'm not doing that anymore. And sometimes you have to make a stand and say, I'm going to do something about this. Do you see what I mean? One is taking action and one is saying, I'm not doing that anymore. We have to make a stand, don't we? We are called to be different when we have to. We're called to be different. That's what the Bible says. We're called to be different. But we're not called to be odd. we can be. But we are just called to be different. And what I mean by that is, being called to be a Christian, we don't have to go around wearing weird clothes just to show that we are a Christian. Do you see what I mean? It's more about our actions. It's more about what we do and what we stand for, in rather than how we look. It's not about using all sorts of religious words to make us look different. It's about who we are. When we follow Christ, we are free to shed patterns and habits that bring us and others down. Grumbling, gossiping, moaning, those kind of things. And if you have a read of Caroline's thought for the day, it talks about getting drawn into gossiping. You can read that later. But it's just how we get drawn into behaviours of those around us. So we need to make a new start. God does not ask us to leave behind anything that is good, but he does ask us to get rid of rubbish. Are we capable and willing for change, or does our rubbish give us security? And rubbish, it sounds odd, can be our security. In the book that Nikki Gumbel wrote, he talks about this lady that used to go around with all her bags of, you know, bits and pieces, carrier bags in a trolley. And we would look in it and just think, that's a load of rubbish. It's just bits and pieces that she's picked up off the street. But she couldn't get rid of this rubbish. She'd collected it all and it was part of her life. And when she died, she had a big inheritance. She was rich, but she lived with this rubbish. And Paul tells us to hate what is evil, the rubbish, and, you know, stick with the good. So I've got a reading here, Romans 12, and this is what we're called to. It's a famous reading, but it's the highest calling. This is what we really attain to. Romans 12, 9 to 21. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Oh, it's easy to retaliate, isn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a very high calling, that, and it's a very hard, it's hard, but it's a very good read in that. We are to be keen and genuine in what we do. God is calling us into an atmosphere of love, joy, patience, faithfulness, generosity, hospitality, blessing, rejoicing, harmony, humility, and peace. Where evil is overcome by good. Do you know sometimes, and you just check yourselves ever so often, when you go to do something or to react or say something, see what your motive is. If it's to be a put down, check it. Check what your response is, you know. It's very easy to crush someone. And someone could already be crushed. And you just put the final squash on them when you say something. And it's hard for us to know. And I will have done it. And, you know, the other day I thought about something and I thought, oh, it'd be easy to say something. And I thought, but that would probably really crush them. And completely. And you think, sometimes you we have to think about what we say and whether it's better to be lifting them up. We've got to overcome evil with good. And these are some of the treasures in store when we leave behind the rubbish. You know, we are called into a beautiful place. So in that reading earlier, it said, present your bodies. This requires an act of the will. You know, it just doesn't happen. You have to will it. First, we offer our time. Our time is probably our most valuable possession that we have. We need to give God all of it. This doesn't necessarily mean that you spend all your time in your bedroom praying and reading. You can think like that. But it's allowing his priorities to be established in our lives. So we give him our time by allowing his priorities in our lives. So we think, putting God into the equation all the time. Secondly, in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will meet our needs. Our ambitions must become secondary to Christ's ambitions for us. Our ambitions can get in the way of what God wants for us, and we have to sort of, same again, bring Jesus into our thinking and our equations. Thirdly, we need to offer him our possessions and our money. God doesn't stop us from owning property or making money. But what he doesn't like and what he doesn't want is a selfish accumulation for ourselves. An unhealthy obsession with material things. Putting our trust in riches. Do you know what? It's a funny old thing, really, and you'll see it all around you. If we put our trust in material things, we become insecure and we move away from God. It sounds, the more we put our trust in these things, the more insecure you become. And you'll see it. And the right answer for this selfishness that is in our world, and the problem is it feeds on itself, and we become greedier thinking it's going to satisfy us, is to become generous. That will break it. Generous giving is the right response to the generosity of God and the needs of others around us. And that will break that grip of selfishness by us giving of ourselves, both our money, our time. Generosity breaks the hold of materialism in our lives. Try it. See what it does. The more you give, the less it has a control over you. But the more you grab, the bigger hold it has on you. You'll never be satisfied. You'll just grab more and find yourself more insecure. Next. Be careful to what we listen to. Same Caroline's thing again. Be careful what you listen to. You know, the ears. We listen to gossip, slander, lies, put downs. We should be listening to what God is saying through the Bible, through prayer books, speakers, music, positive things, plus things. But if we listen to the negative, it infiltrates into us. What about our mouths? What comes out of our mouths? James reminds us of the damage that we cause by what we say. And, you know, we don't even know that we've said things that we've caused harm. And it's true. I will have said things. And you say a little comment. It means nothing to you. It means nothing to me. It can have a real sort of devastating effect on somebody else. And we all do it. I've done it. Be careful what comes out of our mouth. Gossip, lies, slander, curse. What we should be doing is blessing, help, encourage, worship, praise, compliments. So, as a challenge, this is a challenge for me. Six. What about our hands? We can grasp, take, hit, grab, or we can give, help, hold, nurse. We can either use our sexuality for our own self-gratification, or we can reserve it for the good and pleasure of our marriage partner. We can't pick and choose. Paul says, present your bodies. That is every part of us. And the amazing twist is that as we give him everything, we find freedom. People think, oh, you know, you church people, you're sort of all tied up in it. We're the freest people. If we live for ourselves, if we live just for ourselves, we're tied up. We're in slavery. And that's the truth. People who just live for themselves find themselves very tied up. But in Jesus' service, you find perfect freedom. It talks about as living sacrifices. There is a cost to following Jesus. More Christians have died for their faith in the 20th century than any other century before. People die for their faith. There is a cost. It's not let's become Christians and have a good cushy life. For some people, we're just looking at Iran at the moment. The church is probably keeping a very watching it very carefully, but they'd just be watching what's going on because it could have an impact on them one way or the other. Some people have lost inheritance because they've become Christians. You know, they say, I want nothing to do with you. I should think we've all lost friends because of our Christianity. Snubbed, laughed at. It does a cost. You know, it's not an easy path. There is a cost to it. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Present your bodies as a sacrifice. You know, there is a cost to being a follower of Jesus. And it does cost us. And why should we do it? Why should we do it? Because God loves us and wants the best for our lives. You know, he really loves us. He loves us more than any parent loves their own children. That's a real hard one to get your head around, isn't it? Because you think, oh, parents really know how to love, but God loves us even more. That's very difficult to understand. Yet we can think somehow God is out to get us or spoil our fun. We decide to do it our way. We think we can do better than God. You know, have you seen a child trying to do something and you think, oh no, I could help them here. It's quite difficult. I'll go and offer them. You go to offer to help. They say, no, I'm doing it my way. I've got a little one who's like that. I need you. Determined. And they go, I do it my way. And you think, okay, I'll stand back and let you get on with it. And, you know, it can end up in a mess and it can end up in tears. Then they may be willing for us to help them. Not always, but then they might say, okay. Begrudgingly, perhaps, or not. God helps us and gives us a second chance. Do you know, we make a mess. We have a go at it ourselves. We get it all wrong. And then he says, here, look, I'll give you a second chance. One of the former England cricket captains once said, if Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, nothing is too hard for me to do for him. Got to get your head around that, right. If Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, nothing is too hard for me to do for him. He was the captain of the England cricket team. And what did he do? Give it up and went and played cricket. No, he gave up the cricket and went and became a missionary in China. Because he could see that, wow, if God would do that for me, nothing I can do would be too much for him. So, you know, he went and he gave up what he loved, cricket. And, he gave up being the captain. I don't know whether he taught the Chinese how to play cricket. He might have. But it wasn't that, you know, it was for him perhaps the second choice. But that's where he served God. Paul wrote, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So that's what Paul says. Our motivation for living the Christian life is the love, the Father. You know, we have this loving Father who loves us. Our model in life is the example of the Son. So we have the Father's love. We see how Jesus lived. And the means by which we can live this life is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, God, through His Spirit, is definitely at work here and in Broadfield. And you're seeing things that God is at work through His Holy Spirit. And we need to grasp hold of that and see it and believe it and run with it, because things are happening and things will happen. How great God is, and what a privilege it is to walk in a relationship with Him, to be loved by Him, and to serve Him all our lives. It's the best, most rewarding and fulfilling, meaningful, satisfying way to live. And it's why we're here. It is the answer to why. When people say, "Why are we here?" That's why. To serve Him, to follow Him. That is the answer to humanity. And I finish with that. So present our bodies as living sacrifices for Him. Thank you.